The WLEW, News and Public Affairs Department, now presents What Do You Think? Here's your host, Craig Routson, with today's topic.
Good morning. It is currently about 9 minutes past the hour of 10 o'clock. Our guest today in the studio is Nathan Prill, Executive Director of the Huron County Farm Service Agency office in Bad Axe. We're going to be talking about some deadlines and the new farm bill they're working on and all types of things that farmers need to know about. I thank you for being with us again.
It's good to be back, Craig.
Farmers are starting to think about getting in the field. I mean, actually, they've been doing it, seems like, since March because of the weather. But is this a busy time and they're still going to have to take some time to come visit you?
Things are starting to pick up. We're in the process of signing up farmers for the direct program as well as the acre program. And we've had a good start to this year. So we've got a lot of corn planted in Huron County. Once we get in the fields with dry beans here in the next month or so, we'll start seeing crop reporting season begin again and hopefully get wrapped up with what may be the last year of the direct program.
But there is a direct program this year. Farmers need to take advantage of it if it's good for them.
One of the fun things about working in a field office is sometimes the Secretary of Agriculture or the chairperson of the Senate Ag Committee will make a political statement. And this year, we've been hearing a lot of talk in Washington about how the era of direct payments is over. Well, it might be with the next farm bill, but it's not there quite yet. So across Michigan and across the country, sign-up has been much slower than usual because a lot of farmers are hearing that in the news and they think that there isn't a program this year.
But there is. And it's the same as in past years, the same regulations, the same filing deadlines, at least for this year, or is even that changing?
No, everything's still the same. We have a June 1st deadline. So for farmers who participate in that program, as long as we get their contract signed by June 1st, we'll be able to proceed as usual this year.
But the way they're talking in Washington, don't count on any extensions. Be there by June 1st.
Farmers, in agriculture have kind of suffered from their own success. You know, we're writing a farm bill in a time when agricultural prices are good, farm incomes are good, exports are good, and pair that with talk of austerity, talk of balancing budgets, and it could create a lot of uncertainty as far as how this farm bill is written. If it's written to, continue the safety net that we've had in the past, or if it, if the government will look for deficit reduction targets on the back of, agriculture and nutrition programs.
And it's hard for people in Washington trying to cut funds to, try and salvage a program that people are seeing as helping people who really don't need the help because they're in a good economic situation right now.
Well, and the thing we have to remember, I grew up in Huron County, and in years past, agriculture, when you catch a down cycle, it's a really difficult thing. So a lot of these programs were written for those years when things were just terrible, where farming wasn't profitable. It's just that, the cycle has turned a bit, and, we may enter another period like that in the future, but for right now, things are quite good, and that's just what really seems to be affecting the debate on the new farm bill in Washington.
And fortunes can turn around with the weather, but we will still have, they're still talking about disaster programs and stuff to be available, so if something does happen catastrophically, it'll be there.
It seems like the push now is for crop insurance. And instead of maybe having a direct payment, we'd have a revenue insurance program. So USDA could set up a formula by which we calculate how many acres a farmer has. And instead of basing it off historic cropping patterns, which is kind of how the direct program has worked, we would set targets based on what we would expect a farmer to make, based on what they're growing, how much land they're operating. And then if there was another down cycle, that safety net would still be there. It just might not be the $5 billion that we have in the United States and mirrored $5 million in Huron County, which is what we do annually in the direct and in the acre program.
So basically then farmers are going to have to decide what they think is going to happen in the course of their crop year. To see if, am I going to benefit from this? Is it going to drop low enough to where this kicks in, where I get some make-up revenue, or am I just spending on the program and I'm not going to see a benefit on it? It seems like it's a little of a, a Las Vegas kind of thing.
It is, to some extent. Right now, though, the most important thing is just that you know, with Washington, we can't really set our watches to what the policy debate is right now. We don't know what the future holds. But for right now, you know, the Senate passed a version of the Farm Bill that would cut $25 billion over 10 years. And the House, it sounds like they're looking more at $33 billion. But, you know, it's an election year. I can't think of a time when we ever passed a farm bill during an election year, and we're only getting started with this. So, you know, maybe we'll get there as far as having a new farm bill before our year starts on October 1st. But there's always a chance that this farm bill will be extended for another year or 2 years, depending on, you know, how things go in an election year, which is always kind of a cross your fingers and don't bet on anything quite yet.
Are they looking at, you know, and these prices they're going to be targeting, are they going to be regional or are they going to be national? Because sometimes what a farmer gets up in Huron County is far different than somebody in another area where they may be experiencing drought and whatever crop they have is worth more because there's none of it around.
Right. Well, the interesting thing about how farm policy has been set for the last 80, 90 years is that the commodities were all kind of treated differently. So after I graduated from college, after I graduated from high school in Ubley and then went on to college, I started with the agency in Virginia. So cotton had a specific program, peanuts had a specific program, tobacco had a specific program. And so in the past, you know, we wrote, these laws were written to specifically affect different farmers in different regions. Well, as you talk about changing farm bill legislation, the big talk is how will southern commodities fare against midwestern commodities? How will Michigan, which is a very diverse agricultural state with fruits and vegetables and potted plants and hanging baskets, how will that fare against other states in the farm bill? So all the states kind of try and figure out exactly where, you know, how the benefits, you know, will be split up, or in this case, you know, where the cuts will be most severely felt. And that's a process that continues on. But for Michigan, you know, it seems it doesn't hurt having the chairperson of the Senate Ag Committee being, you know, Michigan senator. And I know that they're very interested in making sure that all states are represented with this farm bill.
And we just have to wait and see what shakes out in the end.
We just have to wait and see.
But again, it looks like direct payments are going to either be drastically cut or eliminated, and there'll be some other programs set up probably to help in the interim.
Right. Yeah, and with more focus on crop insurance, revenue protection versus a direct payment. You know, a couple weeks ago, I was at the FFA Chapter Strategy Day in Marlette. ThumbWorks hosted it. It was a really great event. And these young people, these high school students who are in FFA were asking, you know, what programs does USDA have for me? I want to start farming. In some cases, you know, they were children of farmers in the Thumb area. So, you know, maybe that would be an opportunity for them as we look at, you know, who's going to take over this farmland as, you know, the previous generations kind of pass from the scene. And right now for beginning farmers, we have great beginning loan programs. Sometimes one of the things you know, if debt is the only thing that USDA can give a beginning farmer, though, that, you know, there might be some other opportunities. And in the Farm Bill, we're talking a lot about how can we focus on beginning farmers? How can we focus on non-traditional forms of agriculture, aquaculture, or transition to organic? You know, how can USDA represent a broader spectrum of the agricultural community across the country? So I think we'll see a lot of emphasis on that as well in the farm policy debate, and it'll affect the way the Farm Bill is implemented as well.
Are they going to be looking more at the smaller farmer as opposed to the big mega farms? I mean, there are people like wineries and stuff that do smaller things, but they're just as important to the area as any other piece of farmland.
Absolutely. One of the programs that we have is we do have for crops that aren't insured through crop insurance, the Farm Service Agency has a program where we can insure those commodities. Not a place like Huron County that doesn't play so much of a role. If you're growing pumpkins, you know, down in southeast Michigan, that'd be a program.
Hopefully the folks with cherry trees in Traverse City knew about this.
Well, yeah, and as we look at a year where we've had kind of a wild spring where March, for the first time on record, March was warmer than April. There are some programs. But yeah, with beginning farmers, you know, I think that we will see some emphasis for smaller farmers, because right now, the way that the program works, you farm more acres, you get more payment. And That has been the way the system's been for quite some time, just because it's an easier way to calculate, and it's based on growing major commodities. So if you're a small farmer and you're not growing commodities on a farm where corn, soybeans, wheat, barley, oats were grown in the past, there's really not much that we can do as far as issuing payments to you. So this new farm bill may work to kind of bridge that gap we have right now between commodity-centered large farms and maybe some beginning farmers who don't have that cropping history and who don't get the payments that maybe other farmers get in the county.
Another thing farmers take advantage of through USDA is the programs to conserve land and resources like that. Are those going to be cut? Are those things that people are going to have to worry that their filter strips are no longer to be covered and, you know, I'm going to have to farm that, I guess, again? Or is that all contractual and it's got to go on?
Well, really, for the first time in my career, and like I said, this is the third farm bill that I've been a part of, I've never had anyone ask the kind of questions that I've been getting right now. And I think it's just because we are in a period of austerity. We are in a period where the nation's attention is focused on deficits. So for the first time, I get questions on, just as you say, you know, will my filter strip, will my CRP contract stay active when the new farm bill takes effect?
Because there's been talk, you know, that, you know, we're not going to pay for land that's not in production. And that, you know, kind of hits people's mind, you know, well, I took this out of production to put it into, you know, an environmental type of program.
Well, fortunately, with the contracts that we hold in the office, if we've entered into a contract with someone for 10 or 15 years, you know, local landowners and farmers can trust that that contract will remain active and that USDA will honor that. It's kind of an interesting, you know, issue, especially as we're dealing with power lines being built in Huron County. We get a lot of questions on, will wind turbines affect my CRP status? If a power line's built over my CRP field, is that going to mean that we have to take land out of production? And fortunately, we have some flexibility to work with landowners to make sure that, you know, if you don't have any control over ITC putting a transmission line through your property, that your CRP contract isn't negatively affected by that.
Because, you know, they just take over the land. They basically, you know, I don't default or, well, I forget the word. It doesn't come to my head right now, but they kind of, you know, take over the property, so to speak, at least the track they need, and you have no control where that's at. And if you have other obligations, you got to at least let you folks know about it so you can make these plans.
That's right. And like I said, we do have flexibility with situations that we call eminent domain. And
that's the word I think I was looking for. They're taking it over that way.
They never like to use the word having it be condemned, but that's kind of the legal process as well. So we do have some flexibility there because a lot of concerns, you know, in the county with how the future will affect kind of the way things have been for a while. And part of our job is to make sure that, you know, as times change, there's kind of a transition period and we are able to work with people to make sure that that isn't, you know, that isn't a negative, that isn't a harmful process. It's a positive process where we can help out in any way that we can, really.
Well, in my years here, I've found farmers aren't afraid of change. I mean, they've gone from just basically sitting on a tractor in the broad sunlight to in one with a cab and air conditioning into one with GPS that tells you exactly in the field where you're at, to one with GPS that tells you how much nutrients you need at this end of the field. I mean, they're not opposed to change. They just want to be well aware of it as it's coming.
Well, and that's one thing that we're very fortunate in the thumb, and especially in Huron County, is that Huron County farmers are on the cutting edge using technology to increase their productivity. You know, our local ag entities, the grain commodity companies, the cooperatives, do a fantastic job of working with farmers. And the most important thing then is, since they're moving at taking such giant strides, you know, like you say, with GPS technology and with fertilizer and seed technology, that government programs that we can keep up, because a farmer farming 5,000 acres doesn't want to spend 2 days at the FSA office doing a crop report. So we're working on updating our technology and working on our computer systems and the way we do things to make sure that time is spent efficiently and that we are able to work with farmers who can get a crop report in their tractor because they know exactly to the hundredth of an acre how much corn they planted, when an FSA map on a CLU that was based on something from aerial imagery in the 1970s or 80s, you know, hasn't been updated in a lot of years. And so we're in the process of working with farmers to make sure that our field lines are good. And as an agency, we're working on updating our technology to make sure that we can integrate with farmers so that we're not an impediment to the good work that they're trying to do.
It's nicer when you're on the cutting edge.
So
that's you. You have the resources and the information at your fingertips.
Right. Unfortunately, with the government austerity, not a bad thing at all. Maybe we're even a little overdue for it. We don't have the technology. We're counting sheets of paper at this point. We're printing two-sided. And that's how we should be. That's how government should function. And we're adapting, and it's an experience, having new technology. But we're fortunate that we have so much experience in our local FSA office that, these are adaptable people who do a good job. So we'll put some new technology to work, and we'll save some money while we're doing it. And hopefully, everything will be more efficient for farmers in Huron County.
Now, they're talking about eliminating the direct payments, which is a big part of what you do in your office there at times of the year. Have they dreamed up what you're going to do now?
We hear all sorts of things. Like I said, we'll do just the farm program side. So the farm loan side, we'll do $5 million in direct loans and then another $10 million in guarantee. So that's a whole other part of farm service agency. The farm program side is usually between $10 and $15 million. And we're going to be at the upper end of that spectrum this year, unfortunately, because milk prices have gone down within the last couple of months. For the first time in over a year, we've had milk subsidy payments because prices have fallen below a certain level. So in February, we had a 38, 39 cent payment. And then in March, it's an 82 cent payment per hundredweight, which means that, milk prices are going lower and feed prices are staying the same or going higher. So if farmers haven't brought in milk production for those 2 months, there's a payment waiting for them if they're a participant in the milk program, the milk income loss contract.
MILC.
That's correct.
Program.
Very confusingly titled Milk Program for Milk.
But, you had to be a part of that, and you have to have it set up so that it works in certain months. There's a whole thing that you need to plan on and hopefully saw it coming.
Right. Well, and in a county such as Huron County, where we have such milk production, it kind of blows the state away when Huron County issues payments. We have, I think, 110 participating dairies, and some of them will max out on the price support level because we won't support an indefinite amount of milk. We only support 2.8 million pounds of production. Well, many farmers in Huron County will produce that in a month or 2 months. So, that's one area where, the USDA program will support a certain level, but not a full year of production for a massive, massive dairy. So for that, at that price support level, a lot of dairies in Huron County will cap out in just a couple of months.
And hopefully it turns around before then, which is how the program is supposed to work. Hopefully it's just a bump in the road.
Just a bump in the road. Yeah, because the terrible thing is, when you get these, for the large dairies that don't have the price support level, a smaller dairy with 150 cows, will be able to do an entire year of payments with that production level. But if prices stay low, it really can be a hardship, on those folks, as we don't know what the future will hold, but they're projecting that milk prices will, stay low in the summer. And we just hope that's not the case.
And for the most part, farmers want to, they work hard and they want their efforts to show a profit and not a subsidy needed.
Right.
That's the work ethic out there too.
Absolutely.
So we just have to kind of wait and see on the farm bill and what they finally come up with, because you'll have politics going full steam and there'll be give and take here and there, and it'll all wash out in the end. But
that's really what's kind of really, that's been the focus of our attention for the last little bit. And there are some other areas where we're kind of streamlining between the different agencies. We want to get in line with crop insurance. We want to be working on the same page, so to speak. And so this year, it's going to be a big change for us in the local office. The reporting deadline for 2013 crops, any fall seeded crops this fall have to be reported at the FSA office by November 15th. Normally, farmers had until June 30th. So for any wheat that was planted last fall, this year you have until June 30th to report that. Well, next year, after you get that wheat, anything that you seed in the fall planted, you're going to want to come into the FSA office and report that, which will be in line with what farmers were doing for their crop insurance, but it'll just be going that extra step and getting it reported as well.
Well, and it also helps you folks, because you don't get that big crunch in June. You've got part of it taken care of.
That's right.
I mean, it'll spread it out a little further so that your staffing isn't pulling overtime and pulling their hair out.
The only difficulty is that most of our farm record changes happen in the winter. So a lot of farmers will come in and they want to get those field lines right because they want it to match what their GPS on their tractor has. And also we do a lot of purchasing, a lot of farm succession, a lot of share changes, a lot of land owner operator changes. And so the farm numbers that we have in the fall aren't necessarily the farm numbers that we're going to have when we meet again in the spring. So that's something that we're going to have to work with locally. That's going to be a challenge. We just do the best we can with it. I was talking with someone from another county in Michigan, and they had 7 reconstitutions, so 7 farm changes so far in 2012, whereas Huron County will easily have 300. So this is a county that a lot of land movement in the Thumb area, and especially in Huron County, which keeps us busy and which keeps us moving. So we're going to try and keep up with that. We want to have a good, quick turnaround on that. And like I said, we'll do crop reporting, and if we end up changing farm numbers with record changes, we'll just process them and go forward.
Do what you have to do for the farmer.
That's the main focus of what we do.
Now, you've been working on updating the maps for the area. You had satellite imagery because the maps you had before were aerial, I believe, from a plane, and were old, and, and doesn't even reflect, M53 as a highway,
right?
Type of thing. But, you're working on that, and that's a work in progress still?
It is a work in progress. See, what happened is a lot of states went through and they completely redrew maps when we went to GIS technology. Michigan was a little different. They tried something else where they just took our aerial field imagery. So when they used to fly in an airplane and a county director would be on their belly snapping pictures, we went from drawing, they just took that field data and they overlaid it into GIS, which meant that the maps were familiar to farmers. The problem is that in a lot of cases, they just weren't correct. And so that process in Michigan of getting our CLU, our common land unit, correct has been kind of a long process, and just one of when a farmer purchases a piece of property, we want to get the field line right. If they want to clear or tile, we want to fill out the form so they're in compliance with our programs, and then we want to move the lines. It is a very large amount of work. In fact, we just started. We need to sync up our records with what we have on those maps that we print out for farmers and what we actually have in our computer system. So this week, along with DCP sign up, the start of crop reporting, we're also going to be fixing 7,000 fields in Huron County, trying to get our records right. Because again, we have 6 or 7 different systems that we're working with, and they all need to be synced as we go to a new form of technology, which will allow farmers to have much more streamlined process, much less confusion, many fewer trips into the office, and hopefully an easier experience working with the Department of Agriculture.
And will they be easier to keep updated once complete because you're still going to be using satellite imagery rather than whatever you can get a hold of?
I sure hope so.
Crossing your fingers on that one.
In some cases, I'm not sure it could be more difficult than what we have right now.
Don't give fate a chance on this.
I know. It has been a real challenge. And again, the thing that's different from this county is that anything that we do 10 times more of than most other counties, in the state of Michigan. So this spring and summer, we're going to report crops on 17,000 individual fields. And that's going to be, myself and a staff of 4 people. It's a large amount of work. And one that we're trying to get down to a system so that it is more efficient, so that there aren't wait times, and so there aren't lines out the door.
And farmers know what to bring when they come so that you don't have to come back another day.
That's right.
Type of things.
Well, and even something as simple as meeting a deadline, if you have wheat planted, make sure that you schedule that appointment well before, June 30th. If you've got farm changes, report them as soon as you know. If you need to sign up for the direct program and you haven't done so yet, give Connie a call and schedule an appointment. These are the things that if we get it done earlier, if we do it in early May rather than all at the end of May, it's even better when we do it in February, but we're doing pretty good for this year so far. It's just one of those things that makes things run more smoothly.
It's just one of those things that in February you're not thinking about as much as you are as the deadline approaches and as you're out in the field.
Well, and this is Huron County. In February, we're still buying farmland. So, I mean, you know, we're still negotiating rent agreements. We've had a lot of people switching to shares this year. That's another thing that's kind of unique about the area. You know, as crop prices have gone higher and landowners have seen what, you know, the crop prices are, you know, they want to switch to those share rents.
And the land prices.
And the land prices.
That has
an
effect on how farmers are doing business with crops on land, whether it's shares or however you want to do it.
That's right. But, you know, the most important thing for me is that in spite of the challenges of technology, in spite of the challenges of, you know, working for a government that is trying to cut the deficit any way that it can, which is a good thing, is that we are in a county that is thriving agriculturally. You know, our commodities are doing well. It's good to see Michigan sugar doing well. It's good to see the dry bean market stay open through the cooperative elevator. You know, these are entities that are doing an excellent job marketing commodities so that Huron County can, you know, grow a diverse array of crops, not just corn and soybeans. You know, even keeping the dairy industry in Huron County, that allows us to have a place to market corn and alfalfa, which otherwise, you know, wouldn't be an effective part of the rotation. It's difficult to market in a county that's surrounded by water on three sides. But there are so many things going for the area that in spite of the work, in spite of the difficulties with reduced budgets and reduced staff, it's just good to be in an industry that's doing well across America and in an area that's thriving.
Government's always trying to streamline, and they're usually trying to go to the internet. Is that still a thing going on with the FSA, or have you kind of reached a point where there are certain things you need face-to-face talk with? You're sharing papers and stuff that, you know, you just can't really even do if you were conferencing with somebody over a computer with cameras. You still have to have the sheet of paper you have in front of you, in front of them, that type of thing. Is it kind of reached sort of the end of the line on as far as how you can go on some of this stuff?
I don't think so. It really depends on how this new software is going to work for us as we implement that in the next 2 years or so. I think there will be more opportunities for that. It's just what we've done in the past was difficult because anytime that you had a change, you know, if everything was the same every single year, you could use, you know, the initial online DCP software that we had, that you could actually do everything online, sign it up online. But anytime that you have a change, it would be very difficult to modify your farm contracts or modify your farm records. And in some cases, you simply couldn't do it over the web. So you had to make that, you had to walk into the office. And for us, you know, we can run a contract in a few minutes, a simple contract in a few minutes. Whereas trying to figure it out online, hit the print button, put it in the mail, we still have to get some paperwork from you every single year. And in a lot of cases, it was just easier for farmers to come into the county office.
And it's the way it's always been. It's just one of the things you do in the spring.
It is. But, you know, I think whatever's easier for farmers, whatever takes less of their time, and whatever integrates best with their technology, that's the direction we'll head in. So I imagine that that'll be a big part of our future. As county offices, as the staffs get smaller and the budgets get lower, you know, there may be some opportunities that'll hopefully make everybody's life a little bit easier.
And as farmers have gotten older and are retiring, the newer farmers are less intimidated by the web and doing things online.
I'll tell you, that is generally true, but you wouldn't believe some of the 80-year-old farmers we have come in talking about Facebook and email and what can I do on the web.
Well, Facebook, and that's how you stay in touch with your grandkids.
That's right.
They learn that.
Yes. We have, you know, technology is one of those things that's just getting easier to use. Maybe that's my bias because I'm a little bit younger, but it seems to me easier to use.
That should be the whole focus.
Right.
But there are opportunities, and you can explore that as well as on what's online.
Yeah, and we're in the process of adapting something called MIDAS. You know, we love our acronyms, but it's basically FSA's Modernization Initiative. And what it's going to do is it's going to, instead of having multiple contracts, instead of constantly doing farm record updates, you know, it looks like we'll focus more on the track level, so field by field and just small farm by small farm. And then instead of having 20 farm contracts, you'll just have one contract made up of many different tracks. It's not easy to explain, but what it would do is it would reduce the amount of paperwork that you need to sign, and in some cases reduce the number of signatures. And so that is something that I hope works as well as they're saying it's going to work.
Is that because when people used to, I bought the old Smith homestead, and they just kept that as the Smith farm for record keeping, but it's still my land and I get, you know, the money off of it, but it still was seen as a separate farm, and you had all of these to deal with.
Right. And in a lot of cases, they put a lot of those Smith farms together. And so, you know, you've got a one USDA FSA farm that is 1,400 acres that has maybe six people on share rents, you know, four people on cash rents. You have to track down each one of those people individually for their signature on the contract. Whereas, and that's not the only contract that that farmer would have. And so instead of tracking it like that, we would kind of put everything together into one contract. We track all the individual names of the landowners, you know, folks who are out of town, and hopefully that will make things run a little bit more smoothly, especially as the law changes, because a lot of our paperwork has to do with, you know, before, just a couple of years ago, as long as you didn't make more than $2.5 million adjusted gross, you were eligible. Well, those numbers have come down, and now if you make over $500,000 adjusted gross income, you're now ineligible for some of these programs. So it's just a lot of pieces to kind of keep moving as we deal with everybody who comes into the office.
Is that one of the reasons why you may have had five different farms owned by the same person, is that didn't get to that threshold, or were they still combined?
Well, in a lot of cases, we didn't combine them because we had, you know, landowners who didn't want their farms combined with other farms, or, you know, maybe that landowner rents to this person 1 year, and then they rent to this person the next year, and then the next year their kid wants to take over the parcel. So we keep it separate just so we're not constantly combining farms, dividing farms, splitting tracks, joining tracks. Because every time we do that, we print reams of paper. It keeps us in a job. We don't mind doing it, but it's a lot of work. It's a lot of paper.
I thought we were all getting away from paper.
That was something that just hasn't happened the way I think a lot of people planned. And again, I remain an optimist, and so I hope in the future we'll get there.
But there are some people who just like having a piece of paper.
I always feel good with a piece of paper. You know, it's just a confirmation that, you know, not that someone can go in and change it later, but it's just that initial feeling that, hey, what I need to do for this year is done.
Okay, now we're getting a little closer to the end of our time here. There are some deadlines coming up quickly that people need to know about. There's June 1st deadlines for some of these things for reporting and such, and better let people who haven't taken care of this get it in their heads so they can schedule that appointment.
We always like to remind everybody that if you're participating in the Director Acre program, you have to sign that contract by June 1st. Okay, this year the concern is that, you know, if we have an earlier crop season, a lot of people will try and do their direct sign up and crop reporting in the same go. We prefer to do it separately. It's just easier for us because we're only going three places instead of six. So if you schedule that appointment by June 1st, it really helps things go smoothly.
Just gives you two opportunities to come to town and have lunch while you're here.
A lot of the farmers want me to put a coffee pot up at the counter, but hopefully we can keep things moving quick enough to where you won't have time for a cup of coffee even. And then, of course, our crop reporting deadlines for 2012 are the same. They don't change until next year, and it's going to be June 30th for any fall seeded crops. So if you have any wheat in, we're going to want that reported by June 30th. And then everything else, of course, is July 15th, so same as previous years.
So get those things reported, because you're ineligible for the programs if you don't report.
That's correct.
And you need insurance. You need insurance for most of these programs today, don't you?
In a lot of cases, to be eligible for our disaster programs, so the direct program doesn't require insurance right now, to be eligible for a disaster program, crop insurance is required nowadays. And
as you were talking, you know, how they were kind of maybe get away from the direct payments more into the insurance part of it. And there's been a kind of a movement in government circles for agriculture to promote the insurance part of it rather than after the fact, you know, subsidies.
Yeah. And it seems like the conversation, the thing that's popular right now is talking about revenue. Okay. We want a safety net for farmers, but if you issue a direct payment, you don't know what's going to happen in 2010, 11, and 12 when prices are good. A direct payment maybe isn't as defensible during good years as it is in bad. Well, if we're talking about revenue, then that would be a moving target. And so if the farm bill is written the way some people are talking, you know, your USDA subsidy will be based on what your expected revenue is. And if you fell below that revenue, there may be some help. And if you're above that revenue line, there wouldn't be for that year. Which I think Congress feels is maybe a little bit more defensible to the taxpayers.
Well, it's easier to tell the taxpayers about, you know, we're mandating insurance and not giving subsidies. It's a word, but I think the politicians find it easier, my personal opinion.
Right, and same thing with crop insurance. I think that's also in some ways a little bit more easily defensible. And, you know, our interest is only ever to help the farmers when times are bad and to work with them when times are good. And so for us, you know, it's really important that that safety net is still there, because as we've seen with milk prices, you know, they've been quite good for some time, but now we're entering another down cycle. And
is there a reason for this, or is it just overproduction and the prices, like a supply and demand type of thing? Or
the thing about commodity prices right now is they've been so crazy over the last.
Is it speculation, like oil in some cases almost?
To tell you, I'm honestly not sure. You know, there are a lot of kind of market forces. You know, speculation always plays a role, consumption, you know, U.S. household incomes. There are so many variables mm-hmm. that I would hate to try and throw a dart and catch exactly what it is.
Because it may need three darts.
Exactly. But, you know, in times where dairy prices are low, we want to keep the dairy industry alive in Huron County. That's what subsidies are for, because once you lose an industry, it's very hard to have it. It's difficult to make it come back. So once you lose something, it's gone. And so as long as we can get people through the low portions of the cycle, they'll be around for when the cycle's good. And, you know, in the case of dairy, you know, we don't want to lose dairies because prices go low for 6 or 7 months in 2012. And hopefully that's the role that we're playing locally. And hopefully that's the service that we're providing, because agricultural infrastructure is just critically important to the area. And it's, you know, getting through the bad times are the reasons why we're enjoying such good times right now. And it's important.
And I've heard people talk that, you know, our agriculture is part of our homeland security, that we don't have to worry about importing if we've got the industry here. So that's another factor to keep things alive and well.
It's one thing that we're just very fortunate with in this country.
Anything else farmers need to know about from the Farm Service Agency at this point?
No, the most important thing, again, are just signing up for the DC, making a DCP appointment if you haven't done so yet. Getting ready for crop reporting as soon as you finish planting, whatever you finish planting, if it's dry beans. Whatever it is, come on into the office, we'll schedule you, and with the new farm bill, we'll just see what the future brings.
Is there a website they can get these dates on that things are due in case they were out in the car right now and didn't quite catch it?
FSA.USDA.gov is always quite good, but, you know, honestly, we like to talk to our farmers, and if they want to give us a call, 269-9549, we're always happy to answer any questions that anybody has.
Extension 2. Thanks for being with us.
It's good to be back.
Our guest today on the program has been Nathan Prill. He's the executive director of the Huron County Farm Service Agency. Hopefully we didn't get you in trouble with your bosses.
I always like to say nice things about the Secretary of Agriculture and the Senator from Michigan, as long as we're kind of in the situation we are in now.
And coming up at the top of the hour, we'll clue you in on all the latest in the news.